The Intentional Living Podcast is brought to you by iBelieve.com and is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Being intentional with our words. Have you thought about yours, the ones that you spoke yesterday or today? Are you intentional with them? Hi, I'm Christy Woods, and I'm so glad you're here to join us for this podcast for I Believe. We are going to be talking about being intentional for the next 6 podcasts. So stick with us, okay, you guys? It's going to be good. We'll kick this series off with being intentional with our words. Those things that come out of our mouths quickly when we don't expect it sometimes. Seems as though it's not pre-planned, but yet it probably is, honestly. But those words of encouragement, of hope that are spoken to us, being intentional with our words. So let's dive in. Grab your Bibles. We'll spend the next little bit together here in this podcast with God's Word, with words in general, and the intentionality of them. So I want you to think about yesterday, if you recount the words that you spoke yesterday. Can you think about those? Do you remember them? Well, I'm recording this on a Monday, so yesterday was Sunday. So I spent some time at the church's welcome table because I work there now or volunteer there. So I had a few conversations with some people and then also with my family here at home. But I will tell you this, I really don't recall what I said to people. There isn't anything that sticks out in my mind, and it's not because they weren't important, but there are just so many words sometimes that we speak that remembering everything that flows out doesn't always connect with our memories, does it, at times? But one thing's for certain, when we have an exceptionally encouraging or life-giving word that is spoken to us, we often remember that one for years. I remember back when I was a 9th grader and I'd had an exceptionally hard day at school. And I remember my brother's words to me, encouraging me. That was like 35, 40 years ago. And I still remember those words to this day and can still picture right where we were each sitting when he spoke those words to me. They were that powerful. My friend, you and I have the power of words that God has given to us to bring praise and hope and life and encouragement into the lives of ourselves, him, and others through the spoken word. I mean, think about the power of how he's spoken to being everything in creation. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2 and read those and look at all the words that God spoke and the potential with them, the power behind them, the possibilities that came to life because of them. It's amazing. We have that ability too. We can speak hard words or we can speak easy ones. We can speak healing or harm. We can offer attaboys. We can also offer criticism. We can give grumbles. Or man, we can speak praise, right? And sometimes it's not natural to offer the righteous decisions, the righteous words, is it? Sometimes we have to be intentional about searching God, about asking for help, about setting certain activities into our life or certain goals and plans into place so that we will make sure that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to use us for encouraging words, that we speak those, that we tell that tongue what to speak instead of all sorts of stuff coming out and it being kind of a little bit crazy, right? So what about our words? Do you use yours with intention? I try to with mine. But I fall short sometimes. I'll be very honest with you. Sometimes they fall short and they hurt people and I don't intend it that way. Sometimes it's simply a reflection of what's going on inside of my own heart. And then sometimes it's just simply that they were taken the wrong way and that's not at all the intention that was behind them when they were thrown out into the air. But we're wise to consider the Holy Spirit and asking Him for help and wisdom with them. You know, our brains spin thoughts, and then our tongues spit out those thoughts in the form of words, right? Daily, we exercise this ability to speak life or death thousands of times a day. In fact, they average that humans, both men and women, because I know there was some conversation about women being a bit more chatty than males, but I think they're starting to find that perhaps that's not the case. So I don't know. The final word might still be out on that, but it looks like about 16,000 words is what we speak daily. Dun, dun, dun. That's a lot of words. And if you look at that from a 24-hour day, wow, that's a lot. Well, we'll go back to that in just a minute. But we can see that we have a great opportunity, you and I, potential, possibility that God has given us right here in our mouths with the words that we speak. What is being intentional? It's a conscious, concerted effort, right? That we're paying special attention and focus on something that we are making a decision that, yes, we are going to do this. We had a story, my family and I, with being intentional. My husband was in the Navy, and we moved around often. And because we moved around just about every 3 years, although there were a couple of shorter moves in there as well, we learned to hit the ground running. We made friends. We communicated with neighbors. We created these friend groups, found churches and everything in very quick fashion. That was typical with the military lifestyle. When we moved to the civilian community after my husband retired, it was a little bit different. People were busy with their jobs. They already had their friend groups and their family members because a lot of the people where we landed had been there for years and generations. And so those friend groups and the family plans and stuff were already in place. They didn't need to hit the ground running, making new friends. So seeing somebody new in the neighborhood didn't hit them the same way that it impacted my husband and I, having been in the military. But one day the Lord, it was as if He kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, but why don't you be intentional? Reach out to them and pull them into your life. Allow them entry. Instead of waiting on them and expecting them to pull you into theirs. And it's not meant to be rude in how I just said that or anything. So there I am with my intentional words. But it's because that's what they were familiar with and used to, and that's okay. The great part was, though, that I believe that we came up with some ideas and that the Lord planted some within us to reach out to our neighbors. And do you know what the end result was? We now know most of our neighbors. We're still in the learning process with a few of the new ones, but when new ones came in, we would drop cookies at their doorstep and just have a quick chat with them. As we walked around the block, which my husband and I do often, we made sure to say hi and strike up a little conversation if possible. We also were intentional about inviting them to our house yearly for a cookout. In fact, when this airs, we will be probably right about the time we're having our cookout again. And we're busy planning it now. And I can tell you there's a buzz and excitement from all of the neighbors that have mentioned it on our Facebook group. They're really excited about this cookout, the food and the games and just the time to get to know each other. So being intentional proves quite profitable. And it can be a very, very good and actually godly thing. So how about the intentionality with our words? Do you measure them before they gush out? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I'll be honest. Do we use them as our weapon of spiritual warfare? Like, powerful. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You are no longer a slave to sin. You're made in God's image. God loves you. all little snippets of scripture that can be used right there, what I just spoke, in our situations. Do we use them to fight those battles? Do we speak truth? Do we proclaim the glory of God? Do we give words to those promises that he has already spoken to us through the Bible? Do we put those out into the atmosphere intentionally? Do we take those words that maybe we want to speak, but perhaps aren't righteous to speak, and do we lay them at the altar? It could be a quip back at someone that has hurt us with their words or cut us with their words. It could be coarse joking or cursing. It could be gossip, talking about somebody. Do we stop ourselves and say, no, I'm not supposed to say this, so I'm going to go give this to you, Jesus, and put it at your altar as an offering? Do we seek help from God with them? Do we ask him for wisdom, instruction, or ask him to wash over us with his power and coat us with his love with them? Let's go back to our estimate. 16,000 words a day. That's how many, it's averaged, men and women, that is spoken. Now, assuming that you and I sleep 8 hours a day, I did a little bit of math calculation, and let's hope it's right. Fingers crossed. I did it without the calculator, so let's see. But that's 1,000 words an hour, assuming, again, that you're sleeping 8 hours. That's 1,000 words an hour that each of us offers, throws out into the atmosphere. 1,000 opportunities for glory or grumbles. That's also 17 words a minute. Every minute, you and I have 17 words on average that we can allow to sit and proclaim his glory, or that can go towards grumbling, complaining, jealousy, gossip, anything of that sort. I like to think of that as lots of opportunity. How about you? Let's take it. So what does the Bible say about words? Well, it says a lot, actually. We're just going to hit three different verses here, and these are all from the ESV that I've pulled them, but you can pull whatever version that you prefer. But take a look in your Bible at Proverbs 18:21. In this scripture, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Crazy. That's powerful. You know, we have those moments where jealousy spews forth in our speech. It could have been in high school. Think of those times where maybe somebody had something that you wanted. Maybe it was the latest outfit. In my times, it was a big deal to have certain brands of jeans. Don't ask me why. I don't even know why, but it was. And I did not have those jeans. And I coveted. It's not good, but I did. I wanted jeans like that, you know, and it was really easy because I didn't have what everybody else had to allow jealousy to start to seep into my conversation. We see that with high schoolers, sometimes with boyfriends or with their grades, with school students, or maybe somebody got recognition or an award that we really wanted or were hoping for. It happens. We can also use this powerful thing in our mouth that gives death or life. We can also use it for love and admiration. Have you ever seen a little girl maybe telling her mommy that she loves her? I mean, this warms my heart just even saying it because I have three kids and all of them have done this. But I'm especially visualizing my youngest. He used to get up in the mornings and, "Good morning, mommy. I love you." In just this neatest, quietest tone, he, even at that young age, was allowing life to come from his tongue. And it was an absolute awesome thing. Sometimes worry slips off our tongue, doesn't it? Maybe we got a bad report from the doctor, or we're awaiting a report and we're very concerned about it. Perhaps we're like a lot of my friends right now, and we're a mom who's sending our kids off to school. off to college, first time. Maybe it's the oldest one, or maybe several are going at once in different directions or something, or maybe they're going off into the military. And we're worried about them. And that just comes through our speech with different people that we're talking to when we talk about the situation, or even to that child. Joel, my oldest, went off to school a couple of years ago. And boy, I recognized that pull. It was there. You want to worry, or you want to become discouraged, but what's righteous? And when we ask ourselves, then we have greater potential to be intentional with what we say and what we pray in those situations. And it could be a very powerful thing. Think about your identity in Christ. Who do you say you are? What words do you let go into the atmosphere to describe yourself? Like when you mess up, do you say, "Ah, I'm so stupid"? It happens. Some of us do that, don't we? Or do you say, like according to the word, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? That's in Psalms. But what about Genesis? Genesis says that we are made in God's image, that God formed man of the dust of the ground. And John 1 says that we are God's children. Do we allow those things to go into the atmosphere and to coat situations? How about hope? Are we intentional with words to allow hope to go filter through conversations and over those people in our lives that we absolutely love, and even strangers? You know, I think about a favorite teacher that you had. I had a couple of them. I still can remember to this day. And there are words that often they've spoken over us that leave the situation with such endearment. Maybe they believed in us and they told us that we could do anything we set our minds to, or that, "Hey, good job on that writing," or, "You did so good on this. I'm so proud of you." I don't know what the words are, but they were probably there in some form or fashion. What about discouragement? You know, Proverbs 18:21, again, we go back to that, and it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Discouragement certainly could hang its hat on death, right? But what about if we took the dis, we dis the dis, and we just had courage left? You know, Joshua is one of the number one people we can look at in the Bible when it comes to courage or discouragement. Multiple times throughout the book of Joshua, he's reminded to not be discouraged, to take courage. And there's such power in the scriptures. And, you know, I would encourage you and I both to go back to Joshua when we're done here. And let's read through and just see what happens in the life of Joshua. You know, he picks up courage and he fights these battles and he overcomes because of it. And it impacted not only him, but a whole community of Israelites, those that he led. It's pretty phenomenal what he did with courage and by being reminded to not be discouraged, but to take courage. Now flip to Ephesians 4:29. All right, so we were in Proverbs 18:21, where there was death and life in the power of the tongue. Now let's move forward into Ephesians 4:29. Where it says to let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, only that that's useful for building up of others, that gives grace to those who hear. And some of that I'm paraphrasing on my own, so keep that in mind. One version says unwholesome talk. The ESV says no corrupting talk. But there's another version, or some other versions, that say unwholesome talk. So I went to my Facebook friends and I said, "Hey, you guys, I have this project I'm working on, and here's Ephesians 4:29. We're going to talk about unwholesome talk. Tell me, from your perspective, what's unwholesome talk?" They did a good job. They answered a lot of questions, they gave a lot of examples, and I love it. And I would love to read them to you right now, if that's okay. So first of all, I had to look up in Strong's Concordance and Vine's Dictionary, which those are two wonderful reference tools to use to help in our understanding of the Bible. But basically, if we want to just kind of squish it all together and what those what unwholesome means, according to those two reference tools: corrupt, rotten, worthless, bad, putrefied, and unfit for use. How's that? Well, not very useful, right? Who wants putrid stuff? Hey, my refrigerator had something in it that was putrid this weekend. Multiple family members reminded me of it when they opened it. I noted it when I opened up the doors. I was like, oh my land, what stinks in here? This is awful. And I wanted to just shut the doors and just not even get anything out of there because it stinks so bad. Something was putrid. Putrid words are useless. They're stinky. So we have the opportunity to toss out those putrid words just like we would bad food. Like I need to do from my refrigerator, right? What's in that refrigerator? I still haven't found what it is, although I suspect cauliflower, but we'll see. But what is unwholesome talk? According to my Facebook friends, here is the list that they gave: gossip, criticalness, judgmentalism, lies. You know, the bold ones, but there's also those white lies too. And even those "I'll pray for you" comments on Facebook and stuff. And some of those people may actually really pray. And as a side note, like I try to pray actually right before I type it. I pray for the person and take care of it right then so that when I put, "I just prayed for you" or "I'll be praying for you," it's not a lie. But think about that. There's also assumptions, flattery, favoritism, offense, slander, negative self-talk, grumbling and complaining, whether that's about situations, about others, or even about God. False teaching, coarse talking, dirty jokes, divisiveness, spewing angry words. And there's probably others we could put in there too. There probably is. But those are some that we can begin with, right? And if you have others, hey, add them to the list, you know? Let's be wise. But conversely, what's helpful talk? Let's focus on what we can be intentional about in helping others, ourselves, bringing glory to God. I looked at the Strong's Concordance and Vine's dictionary again. I found that it was good and it benefited others. So helpful talk is good and it benefits others. Okay. So I went back to my Facebook friends and I also asked them about this. So this is their list along with mine, which, by the way, thank you, Facebook friends, for helping with that. But it's a good list. It's the truth. So words that we have to share with somebody, like, does this dress look good on me? Well, if it doesn't look good, be honest. Now, you might need to soften that honesty so that it's kind in how it's offered, but be truthful, even when it's easy and when it's not so easy. Speak the truth. Words from the Bible, offer them. Give encouragement. Hey, how about praise and thanksgiving too, right? Those are powerful. Kindness, gentleness, which we talked about a little bit before with that earlier one, but gentleness. Are our words, our talk, are they grace-filled? Do we ask questions to understand situations before making assumptions about situations? How about correction? Do the words that we offer, the talk that we throw out there, does it glorify God? Does it edify our spirit and the other person that we're offering it to? Do those words point towards hope? How about forgiveness? You know, think about Jesus on the cross. Right before he was crucified, do you remember what his words were? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Helpful. Powerful. So, by offering those words, we help build others up, don't we? How else? I mean, just to remember that offering helpful words of thanksgiving, praise, encouragement, grace, correction, truthfulness, forgiveness, all of that helps to build up others. And it also might have a ripple effect. Have you thought about that? Others might be within earshot, like a little kid. Think about a parent that's there and their kids over here. Strangers. How about friends or other people that we know that way? So use that wisdom from the Spirit, the truth from God's Bible, you guys. Let's do it. Let's build others up and be intentional with our words. So we've talked a little bit about what unwholesome talk is, what is helpful talk, how do we build up others? But now my question for us is, who are we going to be intentional about building up with words? Well, think who's in your sphere. Some of us have a spouse. Others of us have children or maybe grandchildren. How about ourselves? There was a point in time where I had to type out a verse from Psalm, that's the one that discussed about being fearfully and wonderfully made. And I wrote it out. I didn't type it out. I wrote it out. I wrote it out and put it on an index card, and I put it on my mirror. And whenever I went in to look at myself in the mirror, it was natural for me to want to downplay what I saw in the mirror. But you know what? That's not okay, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God's own hand. I'm not going to diminish what God has made because of my own feelings. And I had to kind of learn that with time and with God's word, but his truth, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your work is wonderful, God. This I know full well. I repeated that over and over and over and over and over to myself. We can build up ourselves. We can build up other family members and friends. How about employees? Maybe you're the boss, or coworkers if you're an employee yourself. Strangers. There might be other women that we're mentoring, or other believers that we come in contact with on a one-time basis or every time basis. You never know. But what are the needs of those we're encountering? Sometimes we simply need to offer these words of encouragement. Sometimes we simply need to listen first. Then the words will come. But use words that build up, right? That's Ephesians 4:29 in action. Now, James 3:4-5 talks about a ship and it having this tiny little rudder that steers the ship wherever it goes. And if you've ever seen a Navy ship, they're all large. Even the small ones are large. And those tiny rudders tell those ships where to go. They help to guide them. Of course, the captain or whoever's driving the ship, piloting the ship, tells it what to do. But that rudder is what makes it go, the directions in which it goes. It's pretty amazing. Consider the tongue, what a small part of the body it is, but how powerful it is. That's what it says in James 3:4-5, my paraphrase. But it's the power of life and death. That powerful. It can steer towards life or it can steer towards death. Goes on to say then to consider, you know, that if we have a big forest, a great forest, and how it's set on fire by just a small little spark, that's correlating what the tongue is for life. I think back to like God when he created. They were words, and look at what happened with those words. I think about Jesus on the cross. His was obedience, his was an action, but there were words in the middle of all of that, that if we go to the New Testament and we look up all the red letter words, we'll see what Jesus offered. It was amazing. So they're powerful, these words that we can offer for good, for bad. You know, we can boast in the Lord with them. What a mighty thing. I mean, look back to the greats. Look at the faith greats in Hebrews, where you have Rahab and you have Moses and you have all of the people who the Bible shows did some pretty magnificent things in there. And there, a lot of them are in the lineage of Jesus, as a matter of fact. If we look at those, we see words that they believed, you know, God spoke promises, they believed them, words that they spoke to see themselves through these situations with the power of God. This is a challenge for you and I today. So, you know, Yesterday was yesterday. I'm not sure what words you spoke that maybe you want to take back, or the words that maybe somebody took the wrong way that you did not even mean them that way, but it's created kind of a brouhaha. You know, or maybe something you spoke over yourself that needs changed. Today's a new day. Today, we get the opportunity to be intentional with our words. This little rudder that sits between our lips that determines life or the pathway of death has opportunity today to bring glory to God. Are you ready? So I have three ideas for you to take away and, you know, see if one of these resonates with you. And if it does, go for it. Let us know. We'd love to hear how you're being intentional with your words. But number one, reflect on the words that you've spoken today. Ask God for insight concerning them. So spend some time with him in prayer. Consider those conversations and whether the words were praiseworthy and true. Maybe is there a need to revisit a conversation with somebody that the conversation didn't go well? Or maybe, I'm sorry, I apologize, forgive me, needs to come forth because of it. So think about that, okay? That's number one. Number two, grab your journal. I hope you guys have a journal. I love journals. But if you don't have a journal, grab a notebook or something like that. It's okay. Just paper is fine. But note in your journal how to be intentional with your words. Lay out some ways that you're going to be specific with your words. Maybe you want to text encouragement each week to your kids or to a friend. Perhaps you're going to recite a Bible verse like I did when I talked to you about being fearfully and wonderfully made. Speak that over yourself. Speak it over others. There are plenty of scriptures out there that are wonderful to do this with. Practice daily Thanksgiving. Maybe it's a gratitude journal. Maybe you just list ways that you're thankful or you say them out loud each day. Number three, pray Pray Psalm 19:14. This one's a fabulous prayer. I pray this one actually often. And when I'm on speaking events, especially there before I go in, that any of us can use this. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. It's that simple. If you don't mind, I would love to pray that over you and I as we end today's podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next one because there's more on being intentional coming our way. But as we go today, just want to encourage you with your words. They have tremendous power for God's good. Let's hold each other accountable and encourage one another to be intentional about using them with wisdom for God's glory. And may the words of your mouth and mine and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in God's sight alone. Father, we pray this to you. And I thank you that you've given us something that has the power of life and death in it. May we use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go have a great day, friends. Be intentional. Can't wait to hear all about it.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Intentional Living, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Christy Woods or to check out any of the resources she mentioned in this episode, just head over to her website, christywoods.net, or check out our show notes. This episode was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders.
Hello, my name is Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we're the host of Life After Addiction Podcast. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, check us out, Life After Addiction Podcast, and you can subscribe at lifeaudio.com.